Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Come and receive tonight's offering. Amen. Praise God. In just a moment, once they have, we're going to continue our series tonight on evangelism and discipleship. The last three Wednesday nights, we have taken a little different route, but tonight we'll pick it back up again. And one of the things that we have been doing to help make it easier for us to follow along is to have this little handout. Amen. So we have a handout tonight. If you did not get a handout tonight, lift up your hand because you're going to need it. Lift your hands up. We've got people coming up. We have wonderful help getting these out to you tonight. We'll take a few moments. Keep your hand up until you get one. Amen. Because it will help you. Now, this is not the first night we've had it, as you'll find out in just one moment, but we'll continue in using it. I also realize that you may have gotten one and didn't bring it tonight. So this is why we have the ushers getting them to you. Keep your hands up until you get one. And if you're online tonight, we welcome you. They're on the website, or they're in the description below in the box there is what I'm told. And praise God. I thank God for tech-savvy people. We got some great ones here. Praise the Lord. I think we should put our hands together for them. Amen. And they are supernaturally a blessing to us. So tonight, this is about 25 things that discipleship is. Amen. And you will find, even though that we're saying series is evangelism and discipleship, I've chosen to teach on discipleship side of it first, and here's why. Because what we've been doing to begin with is emphasizing the importance of discipleship. Because disciples will actually be the ones that actually win others to Christ. In other words, they're going to be actually the ones that are going to evangelize. Amen? And so our understanding of what discipleship is and how to become one is really vital to our Christian walk. So what we've been doing is unpacking what discipleship is using this handout. And something we found discipleship is it is different from conversion, amen, or just receiving Christ or being saved. You know, when a person receives Christ, is saved, that could be called their conversion. Amen. It's wonderful. It's powerful. It's the first step of your walk with God. And from that place, you can get anywhere. Amen. But as we find in point number 10, you could turn here. Point number 10, we find salvation here. It says salvation is an ongoing process, even though salvation is instant. So in other words, the moment you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, salvation is instant. Your spirit, the moment you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, making the Lord and Savior of life, and repented of your sins, your spirit, the man on the inside, the real you, is regenerated. It is changed. It is made new with the life of God when you receive Christ. But from that moment on, discipleship is a process. Amen. And it involves, discipleship involves a continual fellowship of Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus called his disciples, here's how he called them. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He told them to follow him, and they dropped everything and they followed him. Happen to know that would be what we should do. And so becoming a disciple, really what we could call a true follower of Christ, is the goal. It is the goal. Hallelujah. And what we're to become once we're saved. Salvation is not the end all. It's the beginning. It's the doorway to everything. It gets you, yes, a relationship with God. It gets you so eternal life that you can experience and grow in your walk with God, knowing God and receiving everything God has for you. But it doesn't stop there. A lot of times people think, well, I'm on my way to heaven and I'll just hang out until I get there. I'll just live life like normal. No, you're on a whole different path now. And discipleship is really the goal once we have been born again and saved. Jesus never said, go into all the world and make converts. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Amen. And it, in other words, he didn't say, just make converts or just get people saved. As important as getting people saved is, he emphasized that once you get them saved, you are to make them disciples, actually true followers of Jesus Christ. Because the missing link in Christianity is discipleship. In other words, once you're saved, how you get everything else is by learning how to follow Christ in discipleship. And in that place, you're taught, you're trained, you grow. And everything that was willed by God through Christ can be experienced. Not just be yours in theory, but actually become yours in experience. He said to make disciples in the Great Commission there in Matthew. You can write it down. Matthew, we've looked at it numbers of time. Matthew 28 verses 18 and 19. He said, all authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Amen. So we left off with a great example of discipleship the last time, which was actually 4 weeks ago, in this series in number 11. So we're going to begin with number 11 tonight and look at this again. Discipleship is the process of making a believer into a disciple. Now this is we talked about this last time. I'm just giving this as a great illustration because Matthew 13 verse 52 in the Amplified Translation says it like this. This is wonderful. He said unto them, therefore, every teacher and interpreter of the sacred writings who has been instructed about and trained for the kingdom of heaven has become a disciple. It's like a householder who brings forth out of his storehouse treasure that is new and treasure that is old, the fresh as well as the familiar. Now, we looked at this last time. The point that I want to bring out is, notice, he said in this, he uses this process of making a believer. Illustrates discipleship is different from conversion. Notice that they're instructed and trained. Instructed and trained. You're not going to be instructed and trained by yourself. You come to a place. Now, I understand there can be, and there should be, self-training, self-instruction. But what he's talking about here is actually that we as believers are going to be instructed and trained from someone else. Yes, you ought to grow. You ought to feed yourself. But even a baby cannot feed itself adequately once it first gets. In other words, when a baby comes into this world, the mother or the father has to feed that child. If not, that baby's going to starve. It's the same thing spiritually speaking. When it doesn't make a difference how old we are when we got saved. We're new in Christ, and we don't know what's good for us. And we could be like, you know, like a baby bird, eyes closed and mouth open. And anything that comes along, gets stuck in it, you eat. And how many know that might not be good for you? Praise God. So, I'm not calling you a baby. What I'm saying is that there's a part in discipleship, and it never really ends. Because Pastor Deb and I have been doing this for 39 years, and we're still being instructed and trained for the kingdom of God. It is those that become a disciple. That's what that scripture says. Isn't that right? And so, tonight we want to talk about, if you're taking notes, we're going to entitle tonight's message, Discipleship, excuse me, God's Answer for Freedom. Discipleship, God's Answer for Freedom. Everybody wants freedom. Jesus paid the price for us to be free. Free from the tyranny of sin, sickness, disease, and everything that came upon the human race in the fall in the Garden of Eden. In other words, God, through Jesus Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection, has made sure that that work was complete in redemption so that you and I, by knowing it, receiving it, walking in it, we can be free. Amen. And so it's very important for us to know this. So discipleship is God's answer for freedom. People want freedom a lot of different ways, but it may not be God's way to get it. Discipleship, you're going to find, is God's way, God's answer for freedom. And as we looked at, as you look at your handout tonight on 12 through 12 through 19, I'm going to attempt, everybody look at your neighbor and say, that's a good one, praise the Lord. I'm going to attempt to cover from 12 to 19 tonight, because one of the things that you'll find, number 12 through 19 all have in common is they all contain the usage of the same portion of Scripture. Now, some have others that we'll look at, but all of them, from 12 through 19, have John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32, as to explain this. And so tonight, what I want us to do is we're going to cover this, and they're contained in here. So I want to begin by us, in just a moment, we're going to turn, and you can turn there, to John 8, 32. But before we read that tonight, we're actually going to read number 12 and number 13 of what discipleship is in your handout. Discipleship is, number 12, about making a disciple one who continues in the word. Everybody say continue. Continue means it's ongoing. So it's not a hit and miss thing. It's not something you start and stop whenever it's convenient for you. If you want freedom and learn to walk in freedom, you're going to learn that you're going to have to continue in the Word of God. Jesus teaches us this. Number 13, discipleship is us continuing in the Word so that we can know the truth and the truth setting us free. So tonight we want to make some comments concerning these two. They are closely related, like all of them are. But as we read verse 31 and 32 in John chapter 8, notice the words of Jesus. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So these Jews believed on him. So he's trying to get them to continue on. How many know that everybody that started out with Jesus didn't continue with Jesus? I mean, a great example of that is in John chapter 6 when he talked about, remember he talked about his body and his blood actually being given for humanity. Matter of fact, what made everybody so upset in the crowd, many of his disciples, even his innermost circle, he had to turn at the end after all the others left. And it said, you know, this is a hard saying. And Jesus said, oh, you want to leave too? That's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't beg them to stay with him, because he said, are you going to leave too? And they were smart enough to say, no, where are we going to go? Just because we don't understand what you just said then, you're the one who has the words of life. Where are we going to go to get the words of life except you? And so they were smart enough to say, what he was actually trying to teach them was that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament Passover lamb. That's why he says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And there all the crowd said, man, this is a hard saying, man. And it says, from that day they departed and walked away. But, you know, sometimes things can be said. It's amazing. Sometimes things can be said, and what people are not up on, they're usually down on. And I would encourage you, never allow one thing that's said to distract you from all the other good that you've heard. Now, I'm not talking about false doctrine, except Jesus wasn't teaching false doctrine. But just because we don't quite understand something, don't get trapped on that. Don't get trapped on that. And say, Lord, show me what that really means there. But then don't stop there. You know, sometimes you could be talking in a service and, you know, you need to forgive somebody. And then by the Holy Ghost, something's talked about forgiveness. And then from the rest of on, you ain't heard nothing else that was said. Because in your mind, you're spinning around about the person you hate. And why you're justified in not forgiving them. But no matter what, you're not justified by not forgiving them. And matter of fact, it's to your detriment. It's like drinking poison. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison expecting someone else to die. Don't even want that as hard as you right then. So these are things that we're going to have to consider as we walk. And the truth is that every time we come and be instructed from God's word, we have the chance to either misunderstand or understand. So let's understand. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of times Jesus had to, you know, he went away. His disciples came to him and he either knew it or they asked him. Sometimes it was both. They knew he didn't understand. Some of the parables he taught, they said, tell us about this one, Jesus. And then Jesus told them. And so this is the importance of continuing in the word. So he said Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So notice here, a disciple continues. What does that mean? It means to act on his word. One translation says, if you continue to obey my teachings, then you are my disciples. So just because we come to church, just because we got saved, you know, coming to church and getting saved are two different things. There's a lot of people that go to church that are never saved. They depend upon their own good works to get them there. Coming to church is important because you should be able to come there to hear about salvation so you can and then become a disciple. But just because we come don't mean we are. But just because we believe on Jesus don't mean we're his disciples either. This is what he's saying. You're going to have to continue in his word and to obey his teaching. Not just hear it, but obey it. Then are you my disciples indeed. New Living Translation says, you are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings. Notice verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So let's read this together. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and conjunction. One translation rightly translates this even better. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, the knowing the truth there is more than an intellectual or mental agreement of it. The word, Greek word there means to know by experience. And so it means that an experiential truth or experiential knowing of the truth. In other words, you understand what it's saying and you have applied it to your life and you've experienced it. And it's through the application of that revelation that we have freedom in our life. Can I get an amen in here tonight? Because that is absolutely the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth you know, and it's what you do with the truth that makes you free. It's not just knowing it intellectually. It's knowing and doing something with it that makes us free. There's a lot of people that know, but they ain't free. They know about it. They have it's at an information level. It begins at information, but it has to turn into revelation. In other words, the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. The Holy Spirit is speaking and making that real to us. It's not something you necessarily all understand with your head, but you understand, you begin to listen with your heart. Yes, you hear it with this ear, but Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So just like you have a natural ear, you have a ear of your heart or your spirit. And that's the one he wants you to hear with. Because he said, having eyes to see, they don't see. Having ears to hear, they don't hear. So just because you hear with this ear and read it with this eye, don't mean you got it. It's the eye of our understanding. The ear of our understanding. And that's where revelation knowledge comes. And that's why it's so important that we hear the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as you hear it, the Holy Spirit, as you trust him to teach you the word of God, to take what I'm saying and then bear witness with your heart and even show you things that are beyond what I'm saying. He's talking to you the same time I'm talking to you, but he's bearing witness with your heart. He's bringing revelation and understanding, illumination, so you can see with your spiritual eyes, this is what this means. Since the same thing happened in salvation, you had to see that you were a sinner. You had to understand, see that you were lost. You had to see that Jesus was the Savior, and He was the way of salvation and how to get to Him so you could come to Him. It happens the same way in everything else, that the Word becomes real that way with us. Can I get an amen? Something that is true still needs to become real in our lives in order to change us. I'm going to say it again. Something that is true, the Word is true, still needs to become real in our lives in order to change us. Amen. So this is important for us to understand. Now let's look at number 14 here. Discipleship is how you grow, mature, and become free. Now, of course, we're focusing on the freedom part, but how many know a lot of us, we all want to be free, but in that process of becoming free, you're going to have to grow and mature. There's a certain level of growth and maturity before you're free in these areas that Jesus said that you could be in free in. I don't care if you've been addicted when you came to Christ with drugs, alcohol, whatever substance abuse, or whatever is dealing with you, God dealt with that on the cross through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What we have to learn is how to apply what He did with that, receive it and apply it in faith and stand against and execute authority over what has once bound us. And so we become free. Discipleship is how you grow, mature, and become free. Of course, we read John there 8:31-32, but let's read Peter, 1 Peter 2:22. Here's what it says. It says, as newborn babes, notice, don't get mad. I'm not calling you a baby, and the Scripture is not calling you baby. It says, as newborn babes, desire the serum miracle of the Word that you may grow thereby. It's the Word you grow by. And the truth is, we need to be hungry for the Word. We need to be hungry and desirous of the Word. As a baby is hungry, how does it let you know that it's hungry? It cries. It lets you know it's time to, some of you, I talked to a young parent in here tonight. He knows when the baby is hungry. The baby is crying. Praise the Lord. And so the baby lets you know there's something that it needs. It wants nourishment. You know what? It should show as desire the sincere miracle of the Word, where we don't never open the Word if we really desire it. Come on. Am I telling you the truth? If we're hungry for it, we're going to get into that Word. If we desire it, we're going to come and hear it taught. Amen. We're not going to depend upon everything that we can understand. We're going to come and get taught. This is what the local church, a pastor, and one another is about. Amen. So, you know, as a believer, there's different ways of expression, but of course to show this, but as a baby would cry, you know, a believer ain't going to cry, but a believer is going to be hungry for the Word. A believer is going to want to worship and praise God. There's going to be expression that shows that we are hungry for God. Somebody tells you what the Word says, you say, I know that. Oh, that's not showing too much of a desire. Notice that we may grow thereby. It's important that we understand this is part, discipleship is part of the us growing up and maturing. How many know we need to grow up and mature? And just because you got one area, you got the corner on one area, there's about 25 others that we ain't got the corner on yet. And all you got to do is probably leave the service to find that out with your spouse. Praise the Lord. Pastor Deborah said, yep, praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians 4:15. Amen. Here's another thing it says, but speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into Him, Jesus, in all things which is the head, even Christ. Having the truth spoken unto us is how we're going to grow and mature. And in context, from verses 11 through 16, it lets us know that the local church and those that God set in the local church or in the body of Christ, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, are designed by speaking the truth in love that we may grow up in all aspects of Him, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is important and valuable for us to understand that both disciples have you grow, mature, and become free. 15 says, discipleship is God's pathway to freedom. In other words, if you shall know the truth, John 8:31-32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But discipleship is, notice, a path, God's pathway to freedom, but it's also what I call God's growth path. God has a growth path for us. There are steps that we take. And many of you, this is not a grow training tonight, but this is a good understanding. We have a process here that we call grow. And it's how we make disciples as a church, how we make disciples and leaders for Christ. How many know whether, I'm letting you know, if you didn't know, how important both discipleship and leadership is to the church. Both are. If you don't think it is, look at Acts chapter 6. If you don't think it is, look at Acts chapter 19. Both are vital in a local church. Amen. And we find here that it is God's, discipleship is God's growth path. And so those, I'm going to tell you what those seven steps of grow are, right? Come to church. We don't want you to come to church for you to have perfect attendance. We want you to come to church so we can teach you how to be the church. So you can operate in the authority and the victory that Jesus won for us. Come on. Two, participate in special ministries. We have women's ministry, men's ministry. We have the life groups. We have Stephen's ministry. We have different ministries that help continue the discipleship process. Then join the church. Why do we want you to join the church? Well, because you need your own company. You need a company of believers that people are praying for you and for one another. Come on. Come on. And from that place, you do number four. Glory to God, in that start serving. That's a certain amount of spiritual maturity you can get no other way than through your service to God. I can tell you, you need more than book knowledge. You need practical application. I had a man this afternoon tell me, you know, his family member was going to college, and he says, you know, Pastor Chris, I did this, I did that, but you know what? There's a lot to be said about book knowledge, but everything ain't in the book. Having to know is when you get out and start turning the wrench, you start cutting with a scalpel, or you start, come on, applying it. You know, I can read all the books on construction, but until you actually do something with it, it's no more than on the page. Come on. And so there's an application to all these things. And this is what we're talking about tonight. And so once again, and then you have people that move on. I'm talking about grow again. The sixth step is lead and mentor a team. Thank God for all the leaders we have in this church. They go from being a convert to being a disciple. Amen. And then in leadership in this church, every church needs great leaders, and we have some. And I think we should put our hands together for them. It ain't just Pastor Debbie and I and the staff. It is all our wonderful department heads. It is all for the purpose of winning and disciple people to Christ. Because you'll find disciples are really the ones that are going to actually win people to Christ and be the leaders that can reproduce themselves and make disciples and win others for Jesus Christ. Heaven knows that's pretty important. And so notice in 15 it says discipleship is God's pathway to freedom. But also I'm going to tell you it is in number 16. Let's look at this. Discipleship is people's answer to how to experience freedom, healing, prosperity, and deliverance. Wow, you can get all that out of John 8, 31, 32? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I can just tell you, you have to be taught the Word. And you have to be taught the Word, the will, and the ways of God. When you are, that produces faith. So that you can receive and do the Word. Revelation knowledge is what's important, because we need revelation knowledge in healing. We need it in prosperity. We need it in deliverance. We need that. What the Word says, it is the truth that you know by experience that sets you free. Hallelujah. I can tell you, one touch by God. But see, there's going to be times, I'm going to tell you, as a believer, you just as well wake up and smell the roses right here today. Your faith is always going to be challenged. There's no such thing as uncontested faith. There's no such thing as unchallenged faith. And there's going to come a time that whether it's healing or whether it's about your needs being met, or it's about being free from whatever's trying to bind you, that you're going to have to stand, and having done all to stand therefore until that thing comes. And it's not God that's withholding it. We got to realize that we got to receive it. And the moment we receive it, we got to stand in that place and fight the good fight of faith as if we have it, because we believe we do. And until we believe we have it before we see it and feel it, we won't have it. Because Jesus said we have to believe we've received it before we see it and feel it, and then we'll have it. That's Mark 11, 24. I know that's not the way we want it, but it takes absolutely no faith to believe that you have something that you can feel and see. You don't need faith for that. You need faith for what God promises that is yours that you don't have yet. But once you believe you receive it, then you have to, by faith, take your stand of faith. And do whatever it takes. However long you got to stand, but the devil's going to come. And, you know, that's one area. How about people, they get frustrated. I wish Pastor Doug was here. He would be really good. I like his testimony about him, you know, getting saved. And thank God for a wife that prays you in. Amen. And a God that saves you in. Praise your Lord. But, you know, he wasn't. Pastor Doug is a very smart man. But you know what? He's a grown man. How old was he when he got saved? 36 when he got saved. And you heard the story. It was a few years later when his wallet got saved. But he got frustrated one time because he couldn't understand the Bible. You know, your wife is understanding it. People around you are understanding it. You're going to Bible studies. You're going to a church that people are acting like they're understanding it. But you get frustrated. You don't understand it. He came into the room one night and took his Bible and threw it down the hall and said, "It's over. Forget it." What do you do when that happens? Well, you better hope you got 911 right there in the hallway down there. And, you know, your wife or spouse or local church that is going to pick up the phone. "Hey, we ain't seen you in 3 weeks. Where you been?" "Well, you know, yada, yada, yada." And you can read between the lines. They're trying to tell you everything's all right. Or they may not even tell you everything's all right. And that they just go. But see, we got to know how to help people. And we can't give up because everything ain't like lived out in our life just because we heard it one time. "I don't understand it." Bless God. Everybody else is getting blessed but me. Pastor said this and pastor said that. He's happy. He's blessed. And this, he never has any problems. My God, if he ever had any problems like me, then there would really be something going on. Pardon me, but I can tell you, all of us face things. But we have to face them in Christ, and we have to learn to do that. And discipleship is the process where we, Discipleship is people's answer to how to experience freedom. So if we ever, if the devil can get you to give up, stop coming, isolate yourself. Oh, he'll tell you everything. Oh, you can get what you need at home. You can do this and then do the other. You don't want to go tonight because, you know, so-and-so may be there. All those kind of things. He'll tell you anything to keep you away from where you could be helped. But discipleship is people's answer to experience freedom, healing, prosperity, and deliverance. And this is why it has to be ongoing. Number 17, discipleship is how God turns life issues and problems into answers, solutions, and the victory. Woo! And let's read 18 with it. Discipleship is the answer to our life's greatest problems and needs. It's that simple. It's that simple. Oh, I say it's that simple, but Jesus illustrated this. I'm going to look. Is how God turns life, because we all have life issues and problems. How we get answers to them. We get solutions. And it produces our victory. And it's the answer to our life's greatest problems and needs. Jesus illustrated this. Write this down. We're going to turn there to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, problems. And the floods came, issues. And the winds blew, catastrophe, disasters, issues, problems multiplied, and beat upon that house. That's talking about your life. It fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. He said, he that hears my word and understands it and does it, he's this person. He has a storm that comes to his life, but because he knows what the word says and applies it, his life isn't swept away. Because it was found upon the rock. What is the rock? The rock is God, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. God and His Word are one. God, you know, if God appeared to you tonight, He's not going to tell you something different than what He's going to tell you in this Word. Matter of fact, He's going to quote His Word to you. But we keep on reading. We want to be on that first person that built us on the rock. And everyone hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And when the rains descended, that's the same problems. The winds, the floods came, that's the same issues. And the winds blew, that's disaster and everything else that goes on in our life. And beat upon that house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. Both people had the same problem. One person had the victory, one person had destruction in the life. What was the difference? One knew the word and did the word. One heard the word and didn't do the word. That's the difference. Discipleship is why this is the answer to our life's greatest problems and needs. Because we have to learn how to do the word, and we have to learn from the word how to address our problems. Whenever a problem occurs, here's a great thing to ask yourself. What did Jesus do to effect a change for this? What did Jesus die to do to change what's going on or to affect what's going on in my life right now? And so this is why Hebrews chapter 12, verse, you can write it down, verse 2 and 3 says that we're to consider Jesus. And everything consider Jesus. We ask ourselves, okay, what did Jesus do to change this in my life? Because I can tell you whatever's going on in your life that don't belong there, that's come to steal, kill, and destroy, you can bet your bottom dollar that God did something through Jesus Christ to change that. Redemption changed everything. And so it's important that we understand this, church. It's very important that we understand this. And then it says, consider Jesus the author perfecter of your faith. And then verse 3 it says, consider Jesus, the perfected faith, I'm sorry, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, verse 2, and then verse 3 says, consider Jesus, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. That implies this, if we can't consider ourselves and consider Jesus at the same time and get the victory. In other words, what has happened to us, we may know it, but we have to consider what Jesus did in order for us to win over it. And he says, if we don't, we're going to grow weary, we're going to faint. Give up in our mind. The moment you stop considering the word, looking to the word, this is why it's so important that we learn this word. And listen, you won't learn it all overnight, but believe you me, if I can learn it, you can learn it. So you start day in and day out. You start. And you get in there. If you don't know where to go, ask somebody. Ask somebody where to go. Amen. And start reading. I don't have time to teach that. I have old messages on that. Praise the Lord. But let's look at 19 and we'll finish tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a miracle. Praise the Lord. Discipleship is therefore the solution, or the lack of discipleship is the reason why many believers remain defeated in areas of their life. Now, nobody don't wants to hear that because we don't want to take personal responsibility. We want to put it off on God. We want to say, well, if God wills it, he'll just do it. No, he won't. I said, no, he won't. There's a lot of things that's God's will that don't ever happen. God's will is for all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But all people won't be saved. Why? Because they have a free will. They have a choice in that matter. Listen, church, the sooner you can learn there's a Godward side and a manward side to every equation. You can't do God's side, that's to perform the miracle. And he can't do your side, that's to believe him for it. You can't do his side to save you. He can't do your side to call upon his name. Come on. And the list goes on. It's a Godward side and a manward side. Godward side is the grace of God giving us whatever we need. It came through what Jesus Christ did. And our side is the hand of faith that knows it and receives it. You think I've never had an opportunity to complain that this is difficult to do. I've had plenty of opportunities to think, but I know God's way is right. Amen. And I don't make excuses. No. I just say, Lord, if it ain't happening, it's somewhere on my side. Show me where I'm missing it at. Show me where I'm missing it at so I can get that right. So discipleship is therefore the solution, or the lack of discipleship. See, if we say, well, you know, if we don't continue in the Word, and you're continuing and God's continuing, may be different, two different things. See, well, I've been continuing. I come every Easter and every Christmas. You know, I'm coming now once a month. And I do read my Bible every other week. There ain't going to be freedom in that church. I'm just going to tell you, wake up, there's not going to be freedom. That's called the lack of discipleship, and that's the reason why many believers remain defeated in areas of their life, because it's going to require you to push in. Not because God is withholding it, but because you have to understand it. You have to find it, understand it, receive it, and how about get happy about it? Let's talk about this in closing. Did I read that? Yeah, I read it. Okay. This is the possible answer why people are where they are. Because you have to continue, like I say, in the Word. You have to see the Word as your answer. Yes, see it as your answer. Oh, Pastor always talked about it. His answer is always the Word. You got it. That's right. That's the only answer I got. Praise God. And it's been working for 39 years. And if it hasn't been working, it's not because it ain't perfect from God. It's because I ain't worked it. And so we have to see it as that word, as our answer, his word. Proverbs, write this down, 4:22 says, they or God's word are life to those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. Finding it means you have to acquire it. In other words, there's going to be some searching. This is why the word says, they that search for me and seek me shall find me. There's a certain amount. It's not like God is hiding. Amen. But God expects there be some effort. There must be, he tells us, you got to seek because it's going to take revelation knowledge. And that don't come casually. That don't come casually because we got to quiet our minds and listen to our heart where the Holy Ghost is. And we get so busy and so caught up with the world that we can't, listen, we can't focus 5 minutes in the Word before we have to answer text. Shut that thing off. Put it in the other room. Cut it off. Cut the TV off. Do whatever you got to do that you are quiet before the Lord so you can hear. It says, God's word is life, Proverbs 4:22, to those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. All their flesh. All their flesh. That, whether it's your big toe or your heart. Come on. See, the word has to become your delight. I reminded us this on Sunday morning. Psalms 119, write it down. Verse 92, it says that unless the word had been, the psalmist said, David said, unless the word had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. See, most of the people are going to just park and be complaining. Bad things always happen to me. Bad things always happen to me. Look what's happened. Oh my goodness. I never get the break. They're complaining. You complain, you remain. Praise and be raised. Come on. You're going to have to, unless I had delighted myself in the word, I would have perished in my affliction. Oh, the devil loves it when we complain about everything. But I can tell you, God wants us to delight in His Word. Oh, don't bother me now. I'm studying the Word. Brother Hagin said it like this, the Word you get thrilled with is the Word that works for you. So what does that mean, the Word you get thrilled with? You see it, you believe it, you see it, as your answer, you believe it as your answer. Come on, you know it's your answer. You get thrilled with it. The word that you get thrilled with, delight in, is the word that will work for you. So if it's just I have to read. Pastor says I have to read. No, I didn't say you have to read. I'm saying you're reading not to make God happy. You're reading to help you. God loves you, whether you read the Bible or not. Reading the Bible is not to make God to love you or to give you favor with God. Reading the Word is totally to help you to know and receive what God has given you. So let me close with this. Discipleship is God's answer for freedom because it helps the disciple to know who they are and their authority in Christ and truly understand it. And that's what it takes. And I can just tell you, this is why we need to hear it and hear it and hear it. How many of y'all had at least one meal today? Unless you were fasting or you ain't got no money, you probably ate. Why did you eat? Because maybe you were hungry, but you know you need nourishment. Well, until we understand that the importance of what Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When we start treating the word like the necessary nourishment, Pastor Debbie and I used to call it, we still do, a life support system. It is our life support system. If you want the real life of God that He has for you, the abundant life is your life support system. So every time we come together, it's like, you know, like we hooking you up to the IV. But we giving you some fluids, some hydration. We giving you what your body needs. Praise the Lord. But we got to see the word is that. This is why we come and we delight ourselves and say, no, I can't wait. I had two wonderful people tell me before tonight coming to, when I walked around, shook hands, says, couldn't wait to get to church tonight. Couldn't wait. I think you should put your hands together for that. I couldn't wait to get to church tonight. I thank God for hungry people. They're the people that receive from God. Speaking of receiving from God tonight, maybe you're here tonight, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's your next step. If you've been saved, been born again, your next step is to be filled with the Holy Spirit.